Ladies and gentlemen, hey, it's Jesse from the original Fast and the Furious, and you're listening to Granny Shifting, the Fast and Furious podcast.
Welcome to Granny Shifting. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Jason.
And this is minute 82 of Fast and Furious from 2009, and the Universal Studios.
And the Buster became a gearhead.
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
Well, it used to be a Buster.
Brian was a Buster.
But now he can tell by looking at this engine that it's a fuel injection, not carbureted.
So who said that line?
Dom.
Dom says that. The Buster. Yeah. So did he actually not know much about cars then when they first met? He worked at the car shop.
At a parts store.
And he put nitrous on his car.
He didn't.
Who put it on?
The FBI? I don't know.
What a great job. I want to work for the FBI, but I want to be their street race car builder. Think of like, you'd have like an unlimited budget to build.
He probably just took it to a tuner shop.
That'd be so cool.
And FBI just paid to do it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, he worked at Harry's.
Yeah, but they're just, Harry had a service department? No.
Hmm.
It's pretty uncommon for parts places to have service departments.
Didn't he paint his own car after the first movie? In between first and second movie, wasn't there a little clip of him painting the car?
I think there was. Yeah, he got that skyline.
Yeah.
I mean, this was in the prelude to Too Fast, Too Furious. Yeah.
I don't know. All right, so he's a gearhead. Gearhead?
Yeah, now he's a gearhead. Because you know what fuel, he knows what fuel injection is.
So him and Dom are just kind of just enjoying each other's presence, looking over the engine bay of the
Charger.
They're in Dom's garage, if you remember, but it's actually, he has no lights on. He just has an inspection light on the hood.
Right.
So it creates this nice glow on their faces.
When you were growing up, did your dad have one of those like drop lights, like a bulb inside of a plastic cage that like,
yeah,
or metal? The older ones were like metal cage that like,
yeah, or the metal drop down. It was like a heat lamp for baby chicks. We used it.
Did it have like the shield around the back?
No.
That's like a heat lamp has like a shield
it's like
around
a
the
bowl,
back.
With a bulb in it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah,
we had
the plastic ones with the cage on them.
Yeah. We had one of those. Yeah.
Oh, my dad had one of them.
We had, that's the only like shop light that we had.
Okay, my dad didn't really work on cars much. Once I got on enough, he had me work on his cars.
Oh, okay.
He just didn't like. He never liked grease and stuff. Hmm. He liked working with
wood.
He
didn't work on dirt bikes. For some reason, I had this idea of your dad that he like always rode dirt bikes and liked to work on them. But was it just you got into them and then he did?
So he was really into dirt bikes when he was in high school. Okay. I guess back then you could like just drive around the county and find trails and hills, and lots of guys had them.
Yeah.
A little different. And we'll be like over at, I don't know, that lake. What's that lake
Grub
called?
Lake?
Grub Lake. And he's like, oh yeah, there's some hill climbs coming out of the one side of there we used to ride on.
In the good old days, huh?
He never liked wrenching.
Hmm.
So when I wanted a dirt bike, he got us a three-wheeler.
Yeah.
Because that's like what my grandparents had. And then when I bought a dirt bike, he bought one so he could ride with me. Because he always rode. And when I wanted to ride, then he could ride with me.
Yeah.
But he got like a really reliable Honda trail bike that never needed worked on.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, that dirt bike is owned by his cousin now, who is selling it. And me and Asher are both trying to buy it. Right now.
What do you mean trying?
Well, his cousin Doug offered it to me for $600. I'm like, yeah, I'll buy that.
Yeah.
And then I didn't hear anything. And Asher told me today when we were working, he's like, oh yeah, Doug offered that to me for $600. I'm like, I know, I'm trying to buy it too. It's just a Honda.
You guys could co-own it? Or you're trying to buy it from the other one?
No, it's a Honda XR250.
Okay.
It's just a solid, reliable 4-stroke dirt bike that will run forever. It's like, it's a trail bike. It's got a headlight, enough suspension. You can have fun on the rocks. And if you want to do a little jumping with it, and just that engine is like bulletproof. You can just, they'll just run and run.
A 250.
Yeah. four-stroke, air-cooled. Yeah. So it's okay. Nothing crazy. It's not a ton of power, but it's plenty of power. But I had, like, I always had two-strokes, like, motocross bikes, and they are, like, high maintenance.
Yeah.
So I would be out there taking them apart for fun. but I did, because I like that stuff. I'd just take things off and see what was inside. And then my dad would have me fix stuff. Like, even on his van today, if he, like these days, not today.
Right.
If he needs, like, brakes put on, he'll be like, hey, can you put brakes on my van? I'm like, yeah, sure. So.
I remember you had, like, a, I don't know if it was specific or more of a generic, like, motorcycle or a dirt bike, like, repair manual. I remember, like, oh, I have a specific memory specific. Being up in your room.
Like, it was a Chilton's.
It was it?
Something.
So it was specific for to the bike that you had.
The model years. It was like 3 years of the YZ125.
Okay.
It was amazing how helpful they are. They're like, remove this bolt and then this, and then you need to turn this 90 degrees, and then this slides off. And like,
you've heard of AllData?
Mm-mm.
AllData, that's what it is now. So it's online. It's called AllData. And it's like Chilton's made like manuals or books. And now it's all gone online.
Oh, okay.
And a company called AllData is like what all the technicians use for like how to take whatever apart or reassemble if they don't know. And it also provides like repair time. So you call me and you're like, I need to replace my alternator.
You can just look that
up. I look up the AllData time and it says.
Do you think they do that when they're building the car or dirt bike or whatever? They're like, one of the engineers' jobs is like track. Because a lot of things are designed. For like good vehicles are designed to be repaired.
Yeah, good vehicles.
Right? They're like, we shaped this cover here because we know you're going to have to take it off when it's in the engine bay.
Right.
And if it's one thing to assemble a motor and then drop it in, but you might not want to replace your spark plugs by pulling your engine out.
Right. Or if you're like working on a motor and at the top of the motor is a compressor, then below that is the alternator.
Right.
If it's a good car, there will be enough space to get the alternator out.
Right.
If it's not a good car, then you got to take, you know, the wheel off and the axle out and, you know, all kinds of other ways to just get that alternator out, which is the difference between like an Audi and a Honda. Like people, they're just, both cars are very reliable.
Honda.
But when you want to replace something on an Audi, the part's more expensive and it takes way more time and people don't want to like deal with that.
Even the new Hondas are like that? I'm asking.
I mean, there's more. Because
I love the 90s Hondas.
Yeah.
It's so, like, simple. Alternator's here. You know, the starter's here.
Yeah.
Everything was accessible.
Yeah.
Plenty of space.
They're all getting less and less like that. Like, where you just open the hood and you don't even see a part. All you see is shields.
Plastic
you
know what I mean? Covers.
Yeah. But people ask me about, like, what kind of car should I get? I want to get an Audi. I'm like, that's fine. You just have to, like, the reliable vehicles, you just have to be willing to pay for the Audi after you've bought it. You know what I mean? Like,
pay for it after?
Like if you need a part, you have to be understanding that, like, it's going to cost $1,000 instead of $400.
Oh, right.
That so the last reliable, car you owned was a Honda.
But the parts cost more and the repairs cost more.
Yeah. I think German vehicles are often new, especially in the last 15 years, German vehicles have gotten, like, very reliable.
Have you ever done a turbo replacement on a Volkswagen, what's their SUV? Diesel.
Tiguan?
Oh,
diesel? Is that diesel?
Yeah. They have twin turbo diesel.
We probably did not, no.
Yeah, my friend worked at Auto House, the Volkswagen shop in Lancaster, the dealer, and he said it's like a $8,000 job. You have to remove the engine to do it.
Oh, really?
And the engine has to come out the bottom.
Mm, yeah.
Because I guess it's easier that way.
Yeah.
But they had one there. I went to get my car line there. It blew my mind looking at this. The engine dropped out. How everything was designed. Amazing engineering. Except for the part where you have to work on the car.
Right.
This block of an engine. And every intercooler pipe was like perfectly formed to fit into the crevices that still existed. The wiring, everything was wrapped into this tidy little block.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't little, but it was like so tight. Everything was like fit together.
Right.
There wasn't any gaps or room. Everything was like,
right.
It was like crazy, but you can see why, like, there's no space. That's not a very big SUV.
No.
They have a twin turbo diesel in there. You might as well be working on a twin turbo 3000 GT, all wheel drive.
I remember them. The
nightmares.
Oh, yeah, the 3000 GTs, the Mitsubishis. Yeah. I was thinking of the Stealths.
VR4. Yeah. Same car, same engine.
You were just talking about something fitting. I don't remember.
The intercooler piping. My BMW was like that too.
It'll come back to me. But
like, I had a BMW with a bunch of bolt-ons. Remember my BMW? It was pretty fast.
Yeah, the black one?
Yeah. There was one. So there's like a bunch of bolt-ons you can do, and they all make a ton of power on that BMW. So like from the factory, they're like 250 horsepower at the wheels. I think they claim like 300 at the crank. But you can easily get 450 at the wheels with bolt-ons in a tune. No engine work.
Yeah, just bolt-ons meaning exhaust.
Intercooler, stuff like that. So the one pipe, I had it. It's not a very expensive part. It's an intercooler pipe. But to install it was so complicated, I never even bothered putting it on. I'm like, oh, it's 20 horsepower, which is a lot. But like, the amount of work, it was like went in between the engine and the firewall. And it was just snaked through these little crevices. You had to like take parts off and drop the engine back a certain way. And like, all this different stuff. And I'm like, nah.
We just had to do a
380 is enough.
We just had to do a thermostat on an Audi A6. And step one, early in the removal process for a thermostat, like a thermostat's like, half hour job, like that's what I'm used to on like Civics and stuff like that.
Right.
Half hour job for a thermostat. This, like the third step was remove supercharger. So the supercharger is in the way of this $15 part. It's just like, that's, to me, that's bad engineering. But
yeah,
I don't know. That's the stuff that you have to be willing to pay for.
Yeah.
If you get those reliable luxury vehicles. So
used ones.
I'd rather buy a reliable, not luxury vehicle. Because driving doesn't need to be luxurious to me.
You know what they say.
Money is power.
Poor people buy used BMWs. And rich people buy Toyotas.
I think I heard Peterson say that.
Is that a Jordan Peterson quote? I think it was.
You're not driving the car I heard a you quote. Should be and you know it.
I messed the quote up. There's something about the guy I was talking about, like poor people drive used BMWs, but he's referring to the fact like used BMWs are cheap.
Oh yeah.
Because they're so expensive to maintain that a lot of times people end up with them and then it makes them poor because they're so expensive to maintain and own.
Like buying that Bugatti Veyron and it's $20,000 for the oil change.
Yeah. I hated that. That's why I got rid of it.
Yeah, once it got to the oil change, I just sold it. Yeah. Like, it's not worth it.
Put $12,000 on, and I was like, that's good. Nobody needs 8 quarts of oil, Bugatti.
Fabian just told me he was doing the oil change on his, explaining how he does the oil change on his Vette because he does it in his garage. And he said, that's pretty normal. Put 10.5 quarts of oil in. I'm like, 10.5 quarts? What?
Is it really that much? I guess
it's a dry sump, so for some reason that's more, but I'm like, man alive.
That's crazy. I mean, like, I was always annoyed. A lot of Toyota engines take over 5 quarts.
Right.
And which is so annoying because the kits. 5
quart jug with the filter. Yeah.
And it comes with a deal that's 5 quarts. And then I'm like, oh, I get for $30, I get 5 quarts of synthetic oil and a filter. And then I need to spend $12 on one extra quart.
Yeah. You just reuse that quart.
But like the Nissans, like Nissan 240s would take like 3 quarts.
Yeah. Nissans, for some reason, are always no oil. Super little.
Yeah. Which don't is they need more oil than this?
Which is fine as long as they don't leak oil.
Yeah.
Because we'll get cars in all the time that are 2 quarts low when they come in for the oil change. Yeah. Like, if that was a Nissan.
Yeah, you'd be struggling there. Yep.
Yeah. Did we watch this minute yet?
I think. We're about done. We're 11 seconds in. 49 to go. All so right, Brian so says.
Did he say where he's going?
All right, him and Dom are bonding.
Yeah.
No, he didn't. They haven't talked a whole lot. They're just.
But Brian said, I'm going with you.
Dom said, like, turn that throttle.
Right? No, he didn't say that yet.
Oh, that's coming.
Yeah.
They're having a good time working on the car.
Yeah.
Brian, yes.
Brian says, said, I'm going with you.
And because he knows Dom's going to chase Phoenix.
Is that what he's using this car for?
I don't know.
Or is he going to use a Subaru for that?
Oh, he's getting the car fixed to take?
I don't know.
I cannot imagine wrenching on a car for months or years or whatever, and then like starting it up and driving it somewhere far.
Yeah.
Nope. No.
Sometimes when I work on my car, whatever, for any reason, do an inspection, pull the wheels off, put them back on, or do an oil change, and driving home, and I'm like, all right, did I tighten
this? I know. Did I tighten that?
Like, I'm only driving 3 miles back home. Yeah,
it should be good. Should be fine.
That's like people are like, I'm going on a trip this weekend. So I was wondering if you could, you know, do this or that or check this. I'm like, well, what if something's bad? What are you going to do? Yeah. Like, you want us to do $1,000 worth of work and then you drive it to Florida the next day? Like, that's just like scary to me.
Yeah.
Dom says, I don't plan on bringing anyone back from wherever he's going.
He's on a kamikaze mission.
Yeah.
And Brian looks at him and says, I know. So like Brian's like, I'm in it, man. And Dom's like, all right.
I guess they're pals now.
Hit that throttle. He's like, all right, he's back. He's one of me. He gave me the car. He bailed me out.
Right.
Now he's going to help me wrench.
Yeah. For about 12 seconds.
Yeah, maybe not even. So Dom twists the throttle. I don't know what Brian twists the throttle. I don't know what Dom's adjusting here that he needs the throttle opened.
Yeah, I don't know.
But something. And who pulls up but Letty looking like an old housewife.
Carrying a bag of groceries.
Paper bag of groceries. Yeah. She got her bangs. She has a long floral skirt with a white cardigan on. And she sees Brian.
What was it? Somebody, one of the major groceries chains in here, is it Giant? Is not using paper, plastic bags at all. Plastic bags at all.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Now you got to take your reusable bags everywhere you go.
I was at H&M the other day to buy my daughter a dress for Christmas. And they're like, would you like to buy a bag for 10 cents? I was like, yes. Why would they make me pay for that, though?
Right. I think it's just enough.
Just include like it somehow.
Me, I would say no. One dress, I can put that in my pocket.
You want to carry that around the mall the whole time? And then you got to go home and hide this gift by carrying it in your pocket? You can't put stuff in your pocket either. People think you're stealing it.
It's like, don't worry, I'll put it in my Auntie Anne's bag.
You should have seen the size of the bag they gave me.
Oh, you got your 10 cents worth or no?
No, it was 3 inches wide, 5 inches long, and 6 inches high. It barely fit anything in it.
That's a 10 cent bag. I think it's just enough to make people be like, oh, no, never mind.
You're right. It's probably good. Because it makes people think, oh, I don't need a bag.
Right.
I needed a bag,
though. If you're at the mall, you probably already have another bag, right?
They're putting bag companies out of business. I don't support that.
And all the people that work at bag companies.
Yeah, what are they going to do?
Losing their jobs.
They can't become cashiers. We know that. All right, so Letty goes in the house with her paper bag.
Mia goes in the house.
Oh, yeah. Mia, and she is looking like stressed and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Brian follows her in and looks confused.
Why is she upset? The thought of her or of Brian and Dom working together like brings back memories of good times?
Well, their last time they hung out, her and Brian and Dom were all kind of getting along until Dom punched Brian like 27 times.
Yeah.
Right? That was the last time they hung out.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And then what happened right after that?
I don't know. They were hiding out.
Didn't they get the call and they had to go right then?
They must have,
to Mexico.
Yeah.
Well, why is she upset?
Yeah, I don't know
things
if it's
were
like
good.
Memories oh, or...
That was because she just found out. Well, she just found out that it was Letty that was the reason that... Oh.
We were saying she had to have known
Letty
that
was working for the FBI.
Where was Letty living? Here.
Yeah.
So Mia probably knew that Letty was working for undercover.
Right. She should have. Girls like need to talk to each other and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean humans.
People.
Humans. So if you're hanging out with a friend,
right,
or sister-in-law or brother-in-law, you're going to like kind of share what you're going through. It's not a bad idea either. Like, hey, I want to get Dom free. I'm going to work through here.
And in case I don't show back up at home sometime, I'm probably dead in Mexico.
Yeah, just don't so come you're looking for me.
But yeah, she's visibly upset about something. And Brian, you know, the hero,
Oh, also, I just thought of this. I think if the FBI made a deal with Letty that if she did this for them, they would clear Dom's name, and she died doing it, they should probably clear his name.
Oh, yeah.
Not like, well, we didn't get him, right. So doesn't count.
Yeah.
So that's kind of
messed up.
Unfair.
Yeah.
So Brian comes in behind Letty. She's unloading the groceries or doing the dishes or something, and he grabs her arm and pulls her around.
Yeah. Aggressively.
She's crying.
Considerate.
Firmly but aggressively.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where it ends. She's crying. He doesn't say anything yet, but they're pretty close. Almost as close as the guys in Tokyo Drift.
Yeah.
Not as close.
What a terrible movie.
What? How could you say that?
Oh, I enjoyed it. But like, if you think about the production quality of that compared to this,
yeah,
it's not there.
Yeah.
That's acting, very true. All of it.
Yeah.
What a weird blurb in the franchise.
What's funny is in that movie, like Lucas Black or whatever the guy's name is. What is his name in the movie? I can't remember.
Sean.
When he's supposed to be like a cool guy, right?
A rare moment where Jason remembers a name that Ryan can't.
He's supposed to be like a cool guy, right? In the movie?
No. And like, even he was like a nerd in the high school he started at.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't the one getting beat up. He was like the Votech.
He drove the old ugly car and the jocks were making fun of him.
Beat people up.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe not cool, but he was like tough.
Independent.
Yeah.
Tough, yeah.
And, you know, Lil Bow Wow, he was a cool guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they bring him back into the series in F9, it was like such a, like they were such a joke. The Tokyo Drift crew comes back in. Do you remember that?
No.
They're the ones that like created that Fiero that they
put
the jetpacks on.
Space with
it. Yeah. And like, they were such a joke. And I was like, are they saying that Tokyo Drift was kind of the joke of the franchise? And so these people are still jokes, even though like in that movie, like in the moment when the movie came out, they were so cool. But now looking at the history of Fast and Furious, they're kind of like a joke of the franchise. Right. Interesting to think about.
Yeah. It would be interesting to see. You remember Tokyo Drift was probably when the future of F&F was unknown.
Oh, yeah.
So if today they had the budget they do, if they're going to make a Tokyo Drift, like, hey, let's make a Japanese drift. Like, right. It'd be interesting to see how different it would have been with different actors, no offense, and higher production.
Yeah, and more of a following in general, probably. Right. Yeah.
Interesting.
Hmm. Anyways, so that's the end of minute 82.
Why is she crying?
I guess we'll find out.
Next week
on Granny Shift and the Fast and Furious podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Jason.
And always remember,
winning's winning.